and welcome to Rewatchable, episode number 108. Today we're going to be talking about Freaks and Geeks for our wrap-up episode and kind of just give you guys an overall look at how we feel about this show and what's coming up next on Rewatchable. I'm Karen, and today I'm joined by Jack, Pamela, and Kristen. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, I know we usually have 8 people going around, but a bunch of them couldn't make it. Brittany might be hopping on later. We're not sure. She got stuck in traffic. Everyone's kind of all over the place this weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend, so it's a little crazy, but we're going to do the best we can, and through the magic of editing, we'll still be able to get everyone's thoughts on the show, so you can look forward to that. First up, before everything else, I just want to give you our contact information. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypable.com, or you can head to our Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. We love listening to your feedback and we love interacting with you guys, so please continue to do that. Now, first up, we're just going to kind of do a little overall thoughts on the show before we get into what's coming up next on Rewatchable. So first of all, Pam, let's start off with you because you've been watching Freaks and Geeks for a while. Do you have any different feelings about the show now that you've watched it or discussed it with us?
Yeah, I think that discussing it with everybody, especially the newbies, was really eye-opening for me. Like, for example, I know that I believe Ariana had a lot of problems with the lack of continuity. Like every episode was kind of a standalone episode. And I don't think that was anything I ever particularly noticed or something that bothered me when I was watching it on my own. So just getting little tidbits like that from everybody really kind of changed the way I saw things. And it was a really cool way to rewatch the series since I was already so familiar with it.
Cool. Jack, what about you?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that as well. And with Brittany, I know she was a super fan, but I didn't know about any of the drama surrounding how it got cancelled and Judd Apatow and what he posted on the internet and stuff. So that was really eye-opening as well. I just didn't know about that, so call me a bad super fan. But but no, that was really interesting to me.
Yeah, speaking of bad super fans, my role with this podcast, this round of the podcast, was really crazy and ended up having to watch it all right before we started recording. And so I didn't quite feel like a super fan and I didn't quite feel like a newbie. But because I'd watched it so closely with discussing it, I don't feel like my feelings have changed at all. Maybe if I go back one day and rewatch the series and think about it, maybe some things will change, but I was kind of in a weird position and I didn't get to be on a whole lot and that sort of thing. But Kristen, you're our only newbie on the podcast today, and I just wanted to know how you feel about the overall series.
For the most part, I really enjoyed it, especially I think the second half of this season was great. Like, I think it kind of picked up. I know when I started it, the first couple of episodes kind of dragged for me, and I was like, okay, I hope this isn't, you know, quite this dry. But it did. It picked up a lot. I really, really liked the last couple, and I was looking forward to sitting down to watch them, so I loved it. So I'd say I'm definitely a fan, and I will probably rewatch again at some point so that I can think back and you know, get a second watch in and kind of see how it might change for me too.
Cool. And since you are a newbie, I know these things can kind of change over time, but right off the bat, like, who was your favorite character?
Bill.
Incisively.
It will always be Bill. I love Bill. We talked about this in the last episode. We did a little bit. At the beginning of the series, he was just kind of there, and I was cool with him, whatever. But he really picked up with the snark and the one-liners, like, toward the end of the season. And those characters always stick out for me, so I just really, really love Bill Haverchuk.
Yeah, Bill is definitely my favorite as well. Jack and Pam, do you agree with that, or do you have other favorites too?
I do like Bill a lot. Oh, go on, Jack. Actually, we might have the
No,
same
you go. You
answer.
go.
I was just gonna say,
Yeah, you go,
Millie
and
is
I'll.
life. Millie is everything.
Yeah, really. I wish. I mean, I don't like her, and she's there just to support the main guys, and she's not really a part of the freaks or the geeks, like specifically. But I still wanted to see like more of her. I understand why she's not there all the time, but she's just so perfect.
I think it's funny too how we tend to cling to those secondary characters so much. I mean, Bill isn't necessarily a secondary character in the same way that Millie is because he is part of the Geeks, but I feel like he got less of a storyline than, say Neil did. And yet, still, for some reason, he just brings so much to the show. And it's funny how you tend to gravitate, at least I do, tend to gravitate towards those secondary characters, whereas like Lindsay, I don't dislike her, but she's just not somebody I've ever really focused on.
Yeah, she
I will
doesn't change
say,
much, does she, over the course of the series?
I did quite like Sam as a main character. I don't usually associate with main characters as much. You're right. Like I tend to drift toward the secondary characters, but I really liked Sam. Maybe not Lindsay as much, but he grew on me a lot too. I really felt for him toward the end there.
Yeah, same. Now, even though Bill is my favorite character, I have to say that Neil and his story arc surrounding his dad is probably my
Yeah.
favorite. Not the fact that his dad is a total douchebag, but the just like the scene with him on his bike looking for the garage, especially when he's alone and he finally finds it. Jack, I believe we talked about before how that just rips your heart out, but it's probably my favorite scene anyway, which probably says a lot about me and how I feel about television.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I like how that is one of the storylines that did get a follow-up as opposed to some of the other ones that got picked up and then sort of dropped because that's how the show sort of is. But a scene that is just as heartbreaking to me is when Neil is talking to his mum about it all and like how he's so upset and doesn't want to hurt her, but she already knows. And I think that was really interesting seeing that how that as a family was trying to deal with the problem because it's just easy to stay together. Like I feel like I haven't really seen that too much on TV, and maybe I just haven't been watching the right shows. But I thought it was done really well.
I agree. Pam, do you have any
Interesting about
favorite
that.
arcs?
Yeah, I you know what? I really just enjoy like anytime there's character development, it's really awesome for me. So like with the whole thing with Ken at the end and like his girlfriend and stuff like that, it's just something that you see coming out of left field. And I think those are the parts that I kind of always enjoyed a little bit more in my rewatching of the show. And of course, I know some people like don't really care for it, but I always really do enjoy going back and seeing like the way Kim and Lindsay's relationship kind of grows from Kim just being super prickly to kind of at the end, you can kind of really imagine them for friends and stuff like that. So
Yeah,
Yeah.
Ken's storyline is so good because in the beginning you're like, oh, this guy's just there to be like surly and antagonistic, and by the end you get more of a sense of him as a person and that softer side of him, and I really like seeing that. Kristen, what about you for favorite arcs?
I actually really liked Nick's story throughout the entire show. Like he changed a lot from how he was in the beginning. Like toward the end there, especially that last episode, we find out that he's basically given up pot and he's, while he still enjoys the whole drumming thing, I think he's found another angle that he likes to do with music with the whole disco thing. And like he just seems to have grown a bit throughout the show. And I really liked Nick kind of at the beginning anyway, but he grew on me too. So I really liked his arc.
I think that's actually one of the biggest tragedies of this show is Nick's storyline because in the beginning you do really like him at first, and then he starts to get really weird, like uncomfortably weird, with some of the moves he tries to put on Lindsay and how often he's stoned and how he just doesn't seem to know where he's going in life. And I know about halfway through the season, I kind of just gave up on him, but you're right, near the end there, it starts to pick back up, and I really wish we had gotten more episodes or a second season where we could actually like see him come into his own and be more independent. And even if he and Lindsay got back together, to have like a healthier relationship.
Yeah, I think one of the good things about Nick is that he always did stay quite consistent, like, with his character. Like, he always just sort of never really cared what anyone thought from the start. Like, everyone in the high school is worried about what everyone thinks of them, but he just didn't really care. Like, he liked talking to Lindsay because he thought she was cool, and then that's how she got integrated into the group. And now with this disco thing at the end of the series, he just doesn't really care. You know, he just wants to do his thing and just be happy. And I like that. It's very different to the other freaks and the geeks.
For me, the jumping off of that, he is kind of like the freak's version of Bill, because Bill is very similar to that. Like, he kind of just doesn't really care what people think, but he's very philosophical in his own way, and he's just going to do him. And I think that's why maybe people tend to like both of them if they like one or the other, because they're quite similar when you break it down just to the rudimentary aspects.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that before. Now, even though we have 18 whole episodes, I think my favorite episode is always going to be number 4, which is Kim Kelly Is My Friend, because when you flip to the episode and you're just like, wait a second, that's the title? How is this going to happen? And then it turns out really well, and it's very organic in the way that she and Lindsay finally come together and explore their friendship, and you get a much greater look at Kim and her family life, and you can understand why she acts the way she does. And I think I remember saying this back when we discussed episode 4, it's not an excuse, but at least you know the reason for why she acts like that. So does anybody else have any other favorite episodes?
For me, it's episode 16, Smooching and Mooching, because I love Nick's whole storyline with him crashing at the Weirs because his dad, like, you know, was a jerk and he decided he wasn't going to live there anymore. And I also love the geeks at the party and Bill's 7 minutes in heaven. Like, I love the whole episode just so, so much. So that has to be my favorite.
I think my favorite episode is Dogs and Gym Teachers. Not because I want to see dogs get hit by cars or anything, but like I feel like, because we got a whole Millie plot line, so that was fun. But it was just one of the perfect episodes to me that of Freaks and Geeks that can make you really upset, can make you almost cry, but also have a lot of like witty humor and it's classic like one-liner jokes throughout. So like you're laughing but you're crying about it sort of thing, and I like that. And I also like Token and Token as well. And those two episodes are probably my favorites. And I was the hosting for the rewatchable episodes for that. I can't remember who I was on with, but like the hosts like were not happy with them, and it was really hard for me because I love them. Because it was at the point of the series where like I think the newbies were realizing that a lot of these episodes are sort of just filler episode after filler episode sort of thing. Like there's not a whole lot of continuity with them, which doesn't bother me too much, but I think it was bothering them a bit. So yeah.
Pam, what about you?
I agree with Kristen. I really like the Smooching and Mooching. That's a great episode. But aside from that, I like Beers and Weirs, which is one of the first episodes we get. I just think it's such a fun episode with the geeks trying to switch out the beer at the party. And that was really fun. And then I also like the last episode, Discos and Dragons, if only because we get to see Daniel interact with the geeks.
Yes.
And he gets like super into Dungeons and Dragons. And that's just so amazing. So that was a really great episode, too.
I love that moment. It's so unexpected and yet so fulfilling.
People like us, because we're such, you know, nerds about all that stuff. And then you're like, yes, welcome to the dark side, Daniel. Come and join us.
Now, I want to talk about relationships a little bit on the show because I haven't actually been on a lot of episodes with you guys, and I'm curious where you stand now that we've gone through all the episodes for Freaks and Geeks. But first, let's throw out there Lindsay and Nick. How do you feel about them? Kristen, why don't you go first?
Well, I really, really enjoy, like, Nick and how he tries so hard, and especially at the beginning of their relationship, I really, really liked him and how, you know, he tried to be a good boyfriend, like he was really trying. But after that, it got a little creepy. I would have loved to see where they take those two in a second season, even if they never, like, actually dated again. I think they are really good friends. She's very patient with him, and so I feel like he needs someone like that in his life because his dad doesn't seem to be very patient and doesn't want to understand him. So I really like them as friends. I don't know if I like them so much as like a couple.
Yeah, that's where I stand in season one. I would have liked to have seen more development and maybe I would have gotten back on board. But I think that they do make good friends because it kind of takes, I mean, they're going to be awkward no matter what, but I think it takes a little more of the awkwardness out of it and they can sort of like be real with each other, which I think is really important. But Pam, how do you feel about them?
I think I agree with Kristen that at first you really want to like that couple or that ship or whatever you want to call it because Nick is so sweet and he embraces her 100% when she first comes into the group. And it's something that's really nice because you're kind of experiencing the whole situation with Lindsay and everybody else just kind of like laughing at her. And you're not really sure if Daniel's just bringing her in to make fun of her, if he genuinely likes her. So to see somebody like welcome her with open arms. But as soon as you get to the part where he's just like standing outside a window and he's like, I just wanted to look at you, and that's all he does, it's like, no, you need to figure yourself out, and this is not healthy anymore. But I like to think that at some point, like, maybe they gave it another shot when he grew up a little bit, and then like they probably didn't stay together, but I like to imagine them as having a friendship, you know, later on in life too.
Do you like them better as friends or a couple, Jack?
At this stage, I like them better as friends, but I agree with you guys how I think that season two definitely would have been a bit more focused around those two and what could have happened. Because in the start of their relationship, in the start of the show, when they were first sort of starting to get together, I guess, I really wanted it. Like, I really wanted it to work and be really good. And then when it started getting creepy, I think when I first started watching, I was sort of like ignoring the creepiness because I wanted it to work. And then I just had to accept that it wasn't really going to happen that way. But I think it's good that they've had like time off and they just sort of just hanging out as friends, I guess. And if anything happens from then on, I think it'd be a lot more healthier because they've had time just to chill out and just get to know each other better, as opposed just to this weird awkwardness at the start.
I definitely think I fall under the ignoring the creepiness because I did. Like, for a while, I excused anything Nick did as, like, you know, he's a high school boy, he's awkward, he doesn't know. And I kept trying to make excuses for him. And then eventually I was just like, okay, it's just a little weird. I just have to admit, it's weird.
Yeah, I definitely did that too. All right, so let's talk about another big one, which is Daniel and Kim. Their relationship is so on again, off again, and yet they seem to really love each other and really know each other very well. I mean, especially when Daniel goes punk and then he shows up at her house and she kind of just embraces him without saying anything. I think that speaks volumes. I don't know if they're particularly good for each other, but I do believe that they understand each other in a way that probably not a lot of other people would. So I would hope that perhaps they would stay together but grow as people, and maybe through that growth they'll find out, you know, okay, this isn't working out, let's just stay friends. But I have a very hard time believing that they wouldn't be in contact with each other for a very long time, whether or not they were still together. Kristen, how do you feel about them?
I definitely like them. I think they probably function better as a couple when they're not surrounded by the trappings of high school and friends and people they feel like they need to perform in front of, because I really think Kim Kelly is one of those people who, when she's got an audience, when she's got a crowd, she wants to make sure that everybody notices her, and she wants to, you know, she wants to make everybody happy. So because of that, I think that's why her and Dan don't necessarily come off as sweet and loving in the presence of everybody else. But I, like, at the end of the one episode where he goes punk, like, she welcomes him with open arms at the end of this crazy evening for him that just kind of, you know, swirled out of control and he didn't really know what he was doing. So I really think they're good for each other, just maybe not that we saw. Like, I think in private, separate from everybody, they're actually a pretty good couple.
Pam, how do you feel?
You know what? I think I agree with Kristen, because we see that when they have those little moments together. Like, there's that episode where, what is it? Oh, Lindsay doesn't stand up for Kim when her parents say that she's a bad egg or a bad banana. That's what it is. They call her a bad banana. And she's really hurt by that. And later, you know, we have this scene where her and Daniel are walking and he just kind of bestows his words of wisdom on her. And it's a very interesting moment for both of their characters, because you don't necessarily consider Daniel to be wise and you don't necessarily think that Kim's going to listen, but she really takes it to heart. And I think that that's why it works, because they kind of understand how each of them thinks. And for this moment in their lives, they're good for each other, because, you know, she probably pushes him to just at least cruise by through school, and he probably makes sure that she kind of settles down a little bit when she gets too carried away. And it's a nice balance. Like, they're very strong characters, but somehow they work in this situation.
Jack, do you feel any differently?
I sort of agree with Kristen a bit, but I also, I mean, but not with this. Like, I don't think that they are particularly good together. Maybe they do seem like they would work well together just because they are in high school. But I feel like they're just sort of together just for the sake of being together. Like, they maybe got together earlier in high school and they are sort of just sticking with each other just for the sake of it, because they don't really know any better. And I think once they graduate, they probably wouldn't stay together just because they realize there's a lot more out there than just being in their typical high school relationship. Maybe it is just because we haven't seen too much otherwise, like them just hanging out by themselves, like away from everyone else. But I don't know. I mean, I've seen relationships like that when I was in high school as well, like just the people who are together just because they are. Like, I can't really give a reason as to why. They're just the couple. But I don't know. Maybe they might be stronger, and I wish that if their relationship was deeper. I really wish we could have seen more of that in season two, because I really do like Kim, and I don't mind Daniel, but I really like Kim, so I'd love to see a bit more of her. So
now, who here doesn't love Ken and Amy together? Anybody?
Crickets.
No. Good answer. That's the right answer. I think that they're really cute together. And yeah, I just wish in my mind, I somebody put it in the article that we all wrote together about how they expected them to get married or something like that. I don't remember who that was, but I was like, yes, that works.
I think
for
that
me.
Might have been me, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I said, like, oh, they're still together. They're totally going to get married someday or something like that. Like, yeah. And I genuinely believe that. They're just so cute and they work. And yeah, they'll be together for a while after high school.
Agreed. Okay, so here's another question. Who here thinks that Bill and Vicky are going to get together?
I really feel like they would have continued to throw them together throughout the series if it would have lasted. Like, I could see maybe not, like, pairing them off, but somehow Bill and Vicky get paired together on, like, some group or club or something. And I could see that continuing to kind of grow toward maybe them getting together at the end or something. But I would have loved to have seen it.
It would have made for some great awkwardness,
I agree with
think.
That. I feel like the show... Yeah, so I was agreeing with that. Like, I feel like the show definitely would have kept putting them together just for the sake of awkwardness, you know. And it would have been interesting as well, you know. I would have loved it to see more of that.
All right, now another big aspect of this show is all the cameos. So, Kristen, I feel like we definitely agree on one of these cameos. So I'm going to have you go first. Which one was one of your favorites?
Krumholtz.
Thank you.
In every way, shape, and form. Because I love him, first of all. And second of all, he was so David Krumholtz in this episode. Like, playing Neil's brother, but he was Neil's brother in all of the ways that I love David Krumholtz. So, actually, he and Lindsay together, I think, one of my favorite pairs in the whole show. Just because I feel like he kind of gets her, and yeah, he might have used her just to kind of make out with her at the party, whatever. But I feel like if she ended up at the same college, that they would totally date. So
I would have loved that.
Yeah.
Pam, what's one of your favorite cameos?
Baby Shia LaBeouf, hands yes! down.
I remember we were on an episode together way back in the beginning, and I was supposed to ask you afterwards which cameo you were talking about when you were like, oh, I'm really excited for this one coming up. And I totally forgot
it's
to ask
one.
You. Yeah, I had a feeling. I had a feeling it was
because
that one.
Because it's just, well, obviously, like, I'm telling you guys, like, the first time I watched the show, it was, like, literally on TV. Shia LaBeouf was not a person, like, you know, like, the person he is today. So I didn't really pay any mind. But, like, later when I was rewatching it, like, my brother and I, as vivid memories of this, my brother and I were marathoning the show on Netflix because it had just come out. We get to this episode, we're like, is that? No way. Oh, my God, it is. And it was just 10 times better than it was the first time around. And I like to hope that all the newbies had that moment too when they were just like, no way.
Yeah,
I had to
look it up just to make sure. I was like, is it? I think it is, but I looked it up and it was, and yeah, that was a great moment. Jack, do you
so
have
funny
some favorite cameos?
Yeah, hands down, Irish. Famous for Ann Perkins on Parks and Rec. Like, that was just, Parks and Rec is my favorite show ever. And I never at the moment when I noticed it was her, like, when I first watched it, I must have been looking away at the screen or just been doing something else. And then she yelled, and I heard her sound, she yelled, and she sounded very similar to something that Ann would be on Parks and Rec. And I just loved it. I feel amazing, especially she's so different than other roles that she'd played in. Yeah, and it sparked a very good hyperbole article by, I think it was you, Kristen, who wrote that Rashida Jones roles.
Yes, it was. I love Rashida Jones. Yeah, she's my second favorite cameo on the show. Like, I really loved her as the bully. It was just good fun.
Yeah, that was amazing. So good.
Now, I mentioned it before, but we did put together an article about what we would have liked to have seen in season 2 of Freaks and Geeks. And I know we talked a lot about this already, but I just wanted to throw out there if anybody had anyone else that they wanted to mention. For me, I didn't actually add to the article because it was already massive, and I didn't want to torture anybody by adding in my million thoughts as well. But my number one person would have been Bill, who I wanted to see grow and change in season 2. I would love to see him become the jock that they talked about in that article with one of the creators. And I think that would have been so cool to see him be maybe with the popular kids, but never forget his nerdy roots, because I think that's just the single most best quality of Bill, is that he is who he is and he doesn't care what anybody else thinks. And it would have been interesting to see him be such a, you know, strong player on a team or something, and yet go home and play Dungeons and Dragons, and nobody would really give him any crap about it. And I think that would have been really cool. Anybody have any other characters that they want to talk about?
I would have liked to have seen Sam have a decent girlfriend. Like, I feel like he'd be a really great boyfriend, but Cindy was just awful. So he just needs to meet a really sweet girl, and he'll be an adorable boyfriend, I'm sure.
You know what? Unlike Cindy, Sam deserves to date a nice person. So uh-huh. I totally agree.
But he would never say that, because he's not.
He would never say that. And that's why he deserves it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh. I totally agree. I think, like, I wrote this in the article, but it might have been cut. I'm not sure, because I know it was really long and you were, like, eliminating secondary characters. But I strongly believe that Millie would have ended up being the next Mr. Russo because she cares so much. You know what I mean? Like, she would have come back to McKinley and then just taken over that role when he retired.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of him, Brittany wanted to make sure that he got a shout out because she loves him so much. So there you go, Brittany. I'm sure she'll talk about him during her section later on. But yeah, I think thinking beyond season two, a couple people did that in their articles, and I thought that was really interesting. They were talking about where they would like to see them go, if any of them were going to come back to the school and either be a teacher or like the guidance counselor. And I hadn't thought that far ahead, but I could definitely see some of them circling back around and maybe trying to make their high school a better place for people like the Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, it's funny, this show, because and I think Karen, we talked about this in one of the episodes we were on together, that, or maybe it wasn't Karen, maybe it was somebody else, that like it's hard, like if you went to a high school where like they weren't so clicky, or like, you know, bullying wasn't a big thing like it is here, it's hard to imagine like a place like McKinley like this exists, you know, but there obviously are. But it's just like different variations of these people, right? Because like if Bill, for example, were to fulfill his destiny and be a jock but also a geek, that's kind of like the modern geek of today. Like, he's nerdy, but he's also kind of cool. So yeah, it definitely would, if they ever did like a Freaks and Geeks spinoff, it would be interesting to see like some of these characters come back and see what the students of today would be like. Because I don't think that it would be similar to how it is on the show. No, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think that's a great point, actually. And now I suddenly want like a modern day Freaks and Geeks show, because the dynamics would change in so many ways, but I still think that you would have a lot of the same characters, in the way that like you would probably have, you know, the geeky people and the people that kind of, you know, are on the outside of society, and then you would have like your bullies and stuff, but it would definitely be a different dynamic, and that would be fascinating.
Yeah, and I think, who was the one, somebody wrote it was kind of like the evolution of the geek, right, in pop culture.
That was me.
Somebody wrote, yeah, that? Kristen, that was you. That was, you're just such knocking a good article, it.
Kristen.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and it's so true though, because like, yeah, like in pop culture, like geeks like that are like it's probably the first thing you think of when you think of a geek. But then you have all these new variations of geek, and they're totally different. And they're nerdy for totally different reasons. It's not necessarily because they're awkward looking. Like, and that's the other cool thing about this show, is that like they all kind of look like real people. They don't necessarily look like, yeah, Hollywood glamorous. So
I love that none of their hair, yeah, was ever really perfect. Like, it sounds small, mm-hmm, but it's so true. Like, you know, Sam kind of had that little poof thing going on most of the time, and Kim Kelly's hair was never like straight and shiny and perfect. I think the person with the best hair was like Millie. Honest to God,
her hair was like flawless.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, most of them, their hair was not like shiny and perfect like it is in most teen dramas nowadays. It was kind of out of control, and that's how it is in high school. Yeah. Like, your hair is not perfect.
And they dress like, teens. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love like fashion on, like, for example, the high school years of the Vampire Diaries, but like girls don't really go to school in heels, or at least they didn't in my day.
Yeah.
No, or at my school. So yeah, it's very interesting, like the personification of like high school today. But yeah, that's something that's very charming about this show for sure, is that they all just look like real kids and real people, and it's believable.
Yeah, I had never thought about that before, but you do look at these shows that have high school characters, and a lot of them are in their late 20s. A lot of them hit the red carpet and they're drop dead gorgeous. And, you know, even the geeky people, like, they have to dress them down and put them in terrible clothes and do their makeup badly and stuff like that to make them look geeky. And, you know, that's fine. Like, it serves its purposes, whatever. But this show is so authentic in the way that they do really feel like real people. And I think that's probably why we're able to relate to them so much, or me at least, when it comes to people like the geeks. All right, well, the main section is over now. We're going to add in everybody else's thoughts in a little bit, but was there anything else you guys wanted to talk about for Freaks and Geeks before we discuss what we have coming up next?
I just want to justify my dislike for Cindy, because I feel like at the very start of the series, my dislike for her came like from a very superficial place. Like, I feel like I came across like, oh, she's just, you know, typical high school girl, she talks like a, you know, like a typical cheerleader. But no, I'm so glad that, like, most of you guys, I think, or the others on the podcast, don't like her just for the same reasons as I do, just for how much she messed around Sam, and she's not as great as Sam thinks that she is. So I want to say that, like, my dislike of her comes from what happens in the show, not superficial. But I'm just really glad it sparked a Twitter war, like, hashtag no Cindy, no. Keep it trending.
I feel like the parents on the show are really interesting. Yes. Like, I love the Weirs. We didn't really talk as much about the adults, but I really love the Weirs. I love how their whole family works. And, you know, we saw how dysfunctional Kim Kelly's parents were, and we saw Neil's parents. Like, they managed to represent a lot of different living situations and to give you a realistic look at how all of these different kids grow up and how it affects them in high school. And I really, really loved how they handled the whole parent thing in the show.
Especially given that the Weirs are the main family, and yet they are quote unquote perfect. I mean, the parents are still together. They still love each other. They've got two kids, one boy, one girl. It's a very typical kind of family. And yet, you know, the kids still have a lot of trouble. They still have their identity crises, and they still struggle. And it just goes to show you that anyone can be like that, even if they do have a really good home life. And I think that's something that's really important to have on TV as well, because so many times we see families where one parent's, you know, gone, they've either left or they've died, or both parents are gone, and it gives the character their reason to struggle, but it doesn't always have to be that dramatic to not know where you fit in the world. And the fact that they centered the focus on a family like this is really different. Through the magic of editing, here's Danielle, Brittany, Caitlin, and Ariana.
Hey everyone, it's Danielle. I'm so sorry that I couldn't be there to record with all of the rest of the Rewatchablers this weekend. I am so happy to have been able to come back on to Rewatchable for Freaks and Geeks this round. It was something that I really missed. I really missed all the people that I would podcast with. I really missed all of you and talking to all of you and discussing these shows that we're kind of all watching together. There's nothing really quite like it. And so I'm going to miss it once more once everybody starts doing, I think it's Legend of Korra, or I don't know if that was just a spoiler just now, but I feel like it wasn't. So yes, anyway, Freaks and Geeks, I really enjoyed it. It started off kind of slow for me. I didn't really care for the first part of the season. There were enjoyable moments. There were things that I liked. But I think, as you may have heard in previous episodes, that I really like continuity, or I really like kind of larger arcs. And I think that was something that was slightly lacking towards the beginning of the season, just the follow through, which I've discussed at length before. Sorry about that. But I do think that it got really strong towards the end. And actually, I'm really bummed that I wasn't able to record on the last two episodes, because I think the last two episodes of the series were probably my favorite few. Last two or three were my favorites of the whole series. So I really think it did go out with a bang, even though it wasn't really meant to go out that way. So yes, I did enjoy it. I don't think it was my favorite thing that I've ever watched in my life, but I would definitely watch it again. I would recommend it to others. So hopefully that's saying something. As far as favorite characters go, I really liked Millie. I actually really liked Ken. I he didn't really do much in the beginning of the season or the series, but I really started to like him towards the end. And then when we got his kind of character episode, I was sold. So Ken is definitely up there, as is his girlfriend. I believe her name was Amy. And I also actually really liked Daniel, especially once we got his episode. So maybe it was those kind of character-centric episodes that really helped me see these people, because I think Millie had one and then those two had one. Nick, I wasn't really sold on, I guess, and, well, my liking for Nick kind of went downhill after he got kind of creepy. So there's that. As I said, the last few episodes of the series were my favorites. I think it was starting with the one about Daniel going punk. Through the end, I really enjoyed those. I really enjoyed the one with Ken and his girlfriend. I thought that was something that I really hadn't seen before on TV or in really any other sort of media. So it was really great to see that play out. Let's see. And as far as ships, I'm really only on the Ken and Amy ship at this point. I do like Daniel and Kim. They're okay. I think, as I said before, they're two kind of broken people and they find solace in each other's brokenness. So I do like that. It's not something that I would totally ship, though, as much as I ship Ken and his girlfriend. As far as my favorite moments, I really like Shia LaBeouf showing up, as you may have heard previously. I also liked Bill's dancing because, as you may have heard previously, that's how I dance. So he's kind of my spirit animal in that way. My favorite scene, I think, of the series was Daniel's scene with his mom, and that goes along with my favorite line where he said, "You're supposed to go inside, take care of him. I'm supposed to go to school. It's called Wednesday." I think that it was clever, but not in a funny way. It just really spoke to me, and it's something that has kind of stuck with me throughout the rest of the season. Not that there was that much time after that. And so in season two, I would just like to see, or I would have liked to see, more character-centric episodes. I would like to see actual growth in Lindsay instead of this backpedaling that they seem to do. Ariana really covered it in the last episode with how she was describing Lindsay, and that was kind of frustrating for me as well. So, yeah, I would just like to see a lot of great character beats and a lot of characterization, because if I can't hold on to the characters, if they can't be consistent, or if I can't really root for them across the series, I feel kind of lost. So that's what I've liked to have seen in a season two. I don't know, maybe Sam being slightly popular, Daniel kind of finding his own and working with his hands rather than being totally book smart, things like that. So this is going really long. So if you want to see any of my other thoughts, they're in that rewatchable article on Hypeable. It was kind of more than just a season two, but I thought they were kind of cool. So, yeah, that's it. I guess we're wrapping up Freaks and Geeks Rewatchable. So it was so great to talk to you guys, whoever came to talk to me, and feel free to talk to me anytime. And hopefully I will be back on Rewatchable at some point soon-ish. But for now, this is Danielle signing off. See you later, guys.
Hey guys, Brittany here. I'm sorry I couldn't be on the last episode, but I'm here to give you my thoughts on the final episode of Freaks and Geeks. So our first question is, do you have different feelings now that you've watched the show again / discussed it? I think I like the show about the same. I really enjoyed being able to talk about the history of the show with everyone and all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes. I definitely have a different take on the characters. I really, really, really liked Lindsay, I think, when I was first watching the series. But as we were doing this rewatch, I kind of got annoyed with her a lot easier. And I definitely didn't like her as much this time around. I felt worse for Nick this time around watching the series, which I've always felt a little bad for Nick. But at the same time, this time around, it was just, I don't know why, every episode I just wanted to make sure he was okay. And other than that, I think I like it pretty much the same. I'll probably rewatch it again, maybe not immediately after this, but it'll definitely be a series that I'll continue to go back and watch over and over. As for favorite characters, I think this time around I really liked Ken a lot more. And I know he's very absent in the beginning of the series, and I think that makes me like him even more because he has these moments later on that are just so, so great and I think that Seth Rogen is awesome. And I watched him in Neighbors the other night, and I think that you can really see his humor in Freaks and Geeks, and I'm glad that it gave him this platform to start getting involved in more of, like, Paul Feig's and Judd Apatow films. So I like Ken. I like Ken a lot. My favorite episode is probably still Kim Kelly Is My Friend, because of the whole drama surrounding it and how it wasn't going to go to air and all of that. That still remains my favorite episode, maybe not content-wise, but backstory-wise. My favorite arc of this series is probably just Sam's entire story, where he realizes that he's not as grown up as some of his other friends are, and he's okay with that. He's okay to say no to things, and he's not just doing things because he has to. And I love that how that played out against Lindsay's arc, where she feels like she has to say yes and do everything. And Sam is definitely the stronger of the two Weir siblings, so I love those two stories, how they played off of each other, and that was something that I kind of picked up on a lot more during this rewatch. I don't have a favorite ship. I don't think that this is that kind of show. So yeah, I'm just gonna go with, let's just say Mr. Rosso and his motivational speeches. That's gonna be my ship for this series. As for any fun facts about the series that we haven't talked about, I think I pretty much drained everything out of Freaks and Geeks that I possibly could for you guys. So I'm going to go with no. But my favorite thing that we did talk about was definitely the airing order of this series, how they took a random 2-month hiatus in the middle because they were trying to remarket it and give it a second premiere, but that changed how the episodes were aired, in what order, and I love all of that stuff. So it really changed how the series was first perceived as opposed to how we watched it. So I think that if you have the chance and you want to rewatch the series, go back and watch it in the order that it was aired on TV. Like, skip Kim Kelly Is My Friend, switch a couple of the episodes in the way that they were originally meant to be aired, and see if that changes anything for you guys, because I think that that is a really interesting way to see the series, in, especially now that you've seen it in a different way. Favorite cameo? I'd like to say it's Ben Stiller, but only because of the additional footage that's available for the Ben Stiller scene. But I think that Shia LaBeouf just randomly appearing was the most shock-worthy, because I watched this after I watched Even Stevens for the first time, so that was always a fun one. As for what I'd like to have seen in season 2, well, we wrote a bunch of these things and some of them got cut because of space constraints, so I think that my favorite one would have been seeing Mr. Rosso just, you know, showing up next year. He is ready to deal with Lindsay again, and he's got, like, this brand new, like, board behind his desk that's, like, instead of a tree, it's more of, like, a ripple effect. Like, you are a drop, and see how many people you affect by your actions. So I think that would have played well with how Lindsay's coming back from following the dead around the country. And, you know, he makes a killer, like, you know, vegetable platter from his garden. So I think that's it for me. I've had a great time talking with everyone and interacting with you guys on Twitter and Tumblr, and we almost have 100 followers on Tumblr. I think we're at like 98 by the time I'm recording this, and I'm very excited to come back for Korra. So looking forward to recording that intro episode soon, and I'm gonna miss all of our wonderful hosts from this time around, Danielle and Pam and Jack and Kristen and all those people who aren't coming back for Korra. Keep in touch. Let me know what's going on in your lives. And yeah, that's it, guys. I'll be speaking with you on Twitter, Tumblr, whatever you want to find me. Bye, guys.
Hi, everyone. Caitlin here. Sorry it's been a while since I've been on the show, but life got a little crazy, and I'm currently recovering from some knee surgery. But I have some final thoughts on Freaks and Geeks, so here we go. Overall thoughts now that I finished it up. Honestly, it took me a while to really get into it. The beginning of the show, I was really struggling with just how teenagery most of the cast was. I'm dating myself, but I'm nearly a decade out of being a teenager, and I have very limited patience for that. But the back half of the series, I really, really enjoyed. I really started loving the freaks, except Nick. I just never could like Nick. There's something about him, can't do it. But I really started to like Kim as she and Lindsay became a lot closer. Daniel, even, I started to find more palatable as he spent more time in the background and Lindsay stopped fawning over him like he was God's gift to McKinley High School. To the point that him hanging out with the geeks and playing D&D was super adorable. Ken, so adorable when he was smitten with Amy, but I will never stop seeing Sam as Baby Sweets. I've watched too much Bones for that. Favorite characters, I don't know how there can be another favorite other than my main man, Mr. Rosso. I mean, he inspires Lindsay, and he gives career advice to Ben Stiller. What else do you need? But he doesn't clean up too badly either with that awesome braid. Dude's pretty awesome. Favorite episode, I really liked the second to last episode, The Little Things. Ken really brings a surprising amount of heart to that plot line. You don't expect it, but he's really great as he's trying to figure out what to make of Amy's confession. I really enjoyed seeing Sam standing up for himself. He's been wanting to date Cindy for the entire series and realizes it's not going to work, and he doesn't prolong it. He sticks up for himself, and that's really enjoyable. Plus, there's some quality Mr. Rosso in this episode, so anything good with Mr. Rosso, I enjoy a lot. Favorite moment of the series? When Bill, they're playing softball in gym class, and Bill catches the pop-up, goes diving for it, and it's this dramatic music playing, slow motion, like you see in every sports movie. And Sam and Neil run out to celebrate with him. And then they're like, dude, that's only the first out. It was so good. I could not stop laughing. That was really enjoyable. Any ships? I have to say, I got to ship Neil and his ventriloquist dummy. I mean, excuse me, his figure. No, just kidding. I would really like to see Bill and Vicky get together after the makeout party, because that was pretty great. But if Kim and Daniel don't get back together, I would be okay with that. And Lindsay and Nick definitely don't need to do that either. I kind of enjoyed Lindsay with Neil's older brother, but I doubt we'll see anything coming of that. So for season two, what do I see happening in season two? I didn't get it into the article, but here are my predictions for our favorite characters. Sam clearly becomes an FBI psychologist. Just kidding. Sam and Daniel, I think, become surprisingly good friends after that first D&D escapade. Later, Sam and Maureen end up getting together and they go on double dates with Bill and Vicky. Sam, though, is going to keep his head down at home because the Weir parents are super pissed off at Lindsay after the whole Grateful Dead thing, and she's grounded forever. The freaks also unofficially adopt him because he's friends with Daniel, and they look out for him. However, they don't really need to worry about bullying because it's pretty much stopped since Sam's social cred has skyrocketed, which from his girlfriend and for reasons I'll explain with Bill. Lindsay, a few days into the academic summit, her family gets a call that she never arrived. The family goes crazy looking for her, but she comes home like nothing happened, and she ends up being grounded forever, or at least until she's 30. So she's forever grounded. School starts back up. She decides to focus more on her studies, but she stays friends with the freaks, especially Kim, who she's bonded with, and she inspires the freaks to really buckle down. And meanwhile, Lindsay, Kim, and Millie become awesome girlfriends. Millie has gotten a new dog over the summer and has forgiven Kim for running over Goliath. Neil remains sleazy, and the only action he gets with is with his ventriloquist dummy. No, just kidding. But his mother leaves his cheating father after Neil goes away to college, and his father pays for his expensive private education as part of the divorce settlement. Bill. So between dating Vicky and his mother dating Coach Fredericks, Bill trains up over the summer and becomes a star basketball player, and he and Vicky become a power couple at school. He never forgets where he came from, though, and he always makes time to watch Dallas. In fact, watching Dallas becomes a post-game ritual with his new stepfather. Daniel spends a lot of time with the geeks over the summer and remains in AV when the new school year begins. He also has spent a lot of time at Sam's, and the Weirs have inspired him to focus on vocational classes, so he sets his sights on trade school after graduation. He also discovers he really likes sci-fi, and he's not ashamed to go to a convention with the geeks because he's been to a punk club, and he can't really get much lower than what he did to go to the punk club. So, Nick, my favorite, Nick realizes that disco is not for him, but he does appreciate that Sarah was broadening his horizons. He stays with her all summer, but breaks up with her shortly after school begins in the fall. He continues working at the Weir store to pay for his drum lessons. He even picks up his grades enough to get into community college, and he will eventually transfer to a four-year school and study musical theory. Ken and Amy remain together forever and ever. They remain an adorable fixture of the group, and Ken follows Amy to college where she plays in the marching band, and they eventually get married. As for Kim, my lovely Kim, after her experience following the Grateful Dead, she's inspired to get the hell out of Dodge. Lindsay and Millie help her get her grades up, but she takes a year off after high school to travel, and she sends all the freaks postcards from various stops, and after that she works her way through college and never looks back at her horrible home life. So, that is my wrap-up. Thanks for listening to the show, guys, and we will see you next round for Cora.
Hi, guys. This is Ariana. So, how did I feel about the overall series? I thought it was fine. It was funny, and it was different from what was going on at the time, which is always good. I guess I kind of feel about it the way that I feel about, like, Girls or shows like that, where I can see the artistic value in it. But I never, I guess, super connected with it in a way. So, I guess that's it. Favorite characters? I really liked the cheerleader, played by Cheyenne. And I really liked Millie because she was smart. And I like people who are doers. And I felt like they were both doers. You know, even though Cheyenne was kind of a bitch, as Tina Fey says, bitches get stuff done. So my favorite episode was definitely the second to last one, because Ken was really nice, and that was great. And it was kind of a lot different than what we normally see on TV, and it was handled in a really nice way. Arcs, moments, ships, I don't know. I think the main ship was, like, Lindsay and Jason Segel, but Jason Segel was creepy, so I didn't care. I did like James Franco and Busy Phillips most of the time, but sometimes they were annoying too. They're kind of whiny kids, but whatever. What would I have liked to seen in season two? Maybe Lindsay, like, calm down, because she's not all that. And I would have really liked to seen Millie and what's her name? Kim Kelly, be friends, because I liked that episode when they were friends, and I think that they are a good influence on each other. I would have really liked Bitchy Cheyenne to be friends with, to be that really dorky guy's girlfriend, because they were cute together, and I also think she could be a good influence on him, you know, help him grow up a little bit. What else? I, like, didn't care about anybody else. Oh, no, wait, Ken. I like Ken, and I hope he's very happy with his girlfriend, and that they stay happy and cute together forever. So, and I really hope that James Franco stays friends with the geeks, because I also think that they are good influence on each other. I guess I like watching opposites on TV, influence and change each other for the better. So that's what I would have liked to seen. But I'm also really excited for Cora, even though Aang is dead. So hopefully I will get to talk to you all then. Bye.
All right. Now, getting into our contact info again, Remember that you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com, or you can visit our Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And if you give us a 5-star iTunes review, drum roll, what's going to happen? Nobody put it in the doc. Who knows? It could be anything. Kristen, you had one job.
Okay. This was not listed under my duties for today, but...
I totally told you to do it.
How about... I didn't realize that. Anyway, how about Karen will rewatch Freaks and Geeks with you at your request, and you can live tweet it together?
Sure. Let's do
that. I think that works. Because that does work. I don't know anything about Korra, so I can't even go there.
That is fine. Yes. And you can fly me out to your home, as long as you're not a serial killer. But, you know, I'll take free trips anywhere.
Sure.
All right, listener feedback. Let's get into that before this gets more awkward. From Tumblr, Maybe Something Blue asks, "Hi guys, just wanted to say that it was lots of fun watching Freaks and Geeks with you and that you make my Mondays much less of a crappy day. Aww. Also, were you as surprised as me that Ken had a storyline at all in the end? Hope you do a final episode before Korra." Well, your wish is granted because this is your final episode. I was surprised because I figured he'd just, like I said, be in the background all snarky and miserable and just be there to kind of antagonize everybody. But he ended up having a really sweet storyline, and I thought that was really nice.
It was late coming, but it was well appreciated.
I was glad they gave him some sort of fleshing out toward the end, because I did wonder, like, why is he here? It's Seth Rogen. Why is he on the show? So I like that too.
From Twitter, Amanda at Heyo Amanda says, in response to the Who's Ready for Legends of Korra tweet, Legend of Korra, says, "It's like a family reunion, but better. No crazy relatives questioning your life choices." Agreed. I definitely have some of those. I can't promise that we're not crazy, but at least we're not going to be questioning your obsession with Legend of Korra. And then lastly, Jessica at BronzeX3Eagle says, "For the past month, your podcasts haven't been automatically downloading from iTunes, but I haven't changed any settings." This is actually something that Brittany has addressed. Hop on Twitter if you have not seen this tweet. You have to unsubscribe and resubscribe, I believe, and then it'll fix itself. Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties, and Mitch had to, like, recode everything by hand. I don't know. It was craziness, but I think
he was okay messaging now. Me when he was doing it, and he was so stressed out. He thought he had, like, messed up, and I'm like, I don't even know, Mitch. Don't ask me.
Thank God for Mitch. He is so good to us. He does he's a said, lot yeah. of this, so we're really appreciative. But yes, sorry about that, but that should be a good fix. Okay, so what are we doing next? We're doing Legend of Korra next, which is really exciting. This is the show that came out after Avatar The Last Airbender, and we decided to do a show in between to kind of break it up, and so if people weren't into the whole Avatar-verse, they would have something to go to while we were, not doing those two other shows. And it's going to be really exciting because we're all getting back together again to be able to do this. So your hosts are going to be me, Caitlin, Mikal, Mitch, Danya, Natalie, Ariana, and Brittany. And if we have some room, we're going to try to get Jack on, like, once in a while or whatever. I mean...
Thank you. I'm sneaking my way on regardless.
Yes.
Whether you guys like it or not, because Korra is incredible. I'm so excited for you guys to, like, watch it. Oh, it's so good. It's like the perfect follow-up after after Aang. Oh, it's so good. And you guys, I listened to all the episodes as well from the Avatar rewatch, and you guys are really good at it, so I'm excited. It's just to be a listener.
Oh, Jack, I'm blushing. For real though, we do want to try to get Jack on. It can be a little crazy with this many hosts, but sometimes people can't get on, and rather than doing a three person, we're gonna see if Jack's available, and he's an awesome podcaster, so obviously
I'll make time for it.
Awesome. And this is going to be 6.5 months of recording. So it's going to take us all the way to the middle of December, which seems like a lot, but it always goes really quickly. So I'm really excited for it. And as usual, our episodes will be out on Sundays unless we have technical difficulties. And hopefully our intro episode will be out next week. Now, Pam and Kristen, you won't be joining us, but do you guys have any interest in Avatar, ever watching it, or Korra, or anything like that?
I've seen exactly one episode of Korra, and that was at Comic-Con. I think I mentioned that before sometime. one of the many episodes before. I do think it's interesting. I've heard that Avatar is really, really great. I mean, I am kind of a Starkid fan, and they are all obsessed with it. So I can't help but hear about it all the time. It's on that ever-present list of mine that just keeps growing of things that I need to watch in the future. So I would like to at some point, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Cool. Pam?
So I have seen exactly one Avatar-related thing in my life, and cover your ears, super fans, because it was the horribly made cinematic movie version. But my brothers are both really big fans of Avatar and Korra, so it's something that is kind of always on in the background of my house, and eventually I will most likely get around to it because they speak very highly of it, and I know you guys do too, so it's just a matter of like Kristen sitting down to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I will throw out there that like it made me cry. The show made me cry. That's how good it is, and that's how like into it I got, which I was not expecting that when I first started watching it, and it's come to be a really important thing to me and makes me that much more excited about Korra. And I was one of the very few that liked the movie when I first saw it before I'd ever seen the show, and then went back to rewatch it after I'd seen the show and just had a meltdown about how terrible it was. So like, I totally get it now.
I watched it like my friends before. I probably watched the series and I thought, yeah, it's fine, like whatever. And I was still a bit young then, and because I'm so old now. I rewatched it as well after watching it all, and I just thought, this is absolute garbage. But Karen, if you thought that like crying during Avatar was like bad, just wait until you get to some of the moments in Korra.
No. Fuck, man. Why do you tell me this?
Well, maybe it will, like, prepare you. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, that's about it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for continuing to listen to us. I hope to have a lot of you back on for Korra. And I know what the next show is going to be after Korra, but I'm not telling anybody. So you're just going to have to stick around to find out. Until then, I'm Karen.
I'm Pamela.
I'm Jack.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Kristen.
Should I even ask?
No, you just guffawed for the first time in your life.
I'm pretty sure.
Guffawed.
It's a good word.
It is an excellent word.
You know what? I really enjoy the word guffaw, and I feel like we should bring it back.
That's what I'm saying. Although, this is funny. I always associate the word guffawed with Goofy from Disney. I don't know why.
But he does guffaw, doesn't he? Kind
of. Right? Like, it's very much, yeah. So every time I see the word or use it, I think of Goofy.